The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. And Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" And Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and your chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." And so Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. I've been carrying this gospel for the last more than a week since we didn't preach last Sunday, and I found it very insightful and in some way provocative in my own reflections. So let me pause over this conversation between Pilate and Jesus at the time of the judgment over Jesus. It's found in all four Gospels, this dialogue about kingship. Keeping in mind that only Gentiles refer to Jesus as King of the Jews. We'll find that in a few places. You'll find it in the beginning of Christ's life and at the end. When the Magi in Matthew's Gospel, there in chapter 2, come looking for the place of the birth of Christ, they come to Herod and they say, "Where is it that the King of the Jews is to be born?" They refer to the Messiah as the King of the Jews. Only Herod the Gentile and the soldiers who crucified Jesus, Roman soldiers, refer to him as King of the Jews. None of the Jewish people would use that title. And you will recall that they put a sign over the cross at the time of crucifixion, written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, saying, "Jesus Christ, King of the Jews." Jesus, you see that I-N-R-I, Jesus Christus, Rex Judaeorum, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. The second thing that's rather important to reflect on here is the dominant culture, ethic, expressed by Pilate and the variation expressed in the kingdom witnessed by Jesus. The dominant ethic in the kingdom of Pilate is a kingdom of power, a kingdom of self-interest, a kingdom of the world, a kingdom of greed, a kingdom of political expediency, a kingdom of opportunity, of control. The kingdom expressed by Jesus, not of this world. It's a kingdom of forgiveness, of healing, of giving life, a kingdom of service, a kingdom of generosity, a kingdom of self-donation, of sacrifice, which will be ultimately witnessed by Jesus on the cross, giving his life, the kingdom of the spirit, the kingdom of the heart. And there's a tension here in the conversation between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom not of this world, says Jesus, kingdom of the Spirit. So what does this mean to us? I wondered, when is America great? We are not great because we can win an arms race with nuclear weapons. That doesn't make us great. We are not a great people because the economy is good, or the unemployment is down. That doesn't make us a great nation. I saw the greatness of America on 9/11. When we were vulnerable, we were broken, and the wound united us. We were not united by success. It was a wound. We were broken. We were vulnerable. We needed one another. And we gathered in prayer, and we belonged to one another, and we saw immense personal sacrifice. First responders gave their lives for others. We saw a whole community across this land come together in prayer and in love. And this is who we are. This was our true spirit, the depth of our souls, the gift of our hearts. This is who we are. The greatness of our people is found in the expression of the kingdom expressed by Jesus. We saw it after the massacre in the synagogue in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago. It happened on the Sabbath on Saturday. On Sunday, I went to the synagogue in Pasadena to pray with the Jewish people, and all faiths gathered there, and we were united by the wound. And we prayed together, and there was only one God. There was no division. There was no contest. We were one in the wound. We were gathered in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the world. We saw it at a borderline bar when Sergeant Ron Halas confronted a gunman and gave his life. Law enforcement people do that. They gave their lives to save others, an expression of the greatness of our people. And we saw it in the fires where people came together and they shared tears and they shared their goods and they shared their love and they embraced one another. And we found this is who we are. This is the greatness of a people. And that's a manifestation of the kingdom expressed by Jesus. It does not belong to this world. It's not opportunistic. It's not self-interest. It's gifting. It's blessing. When is a church great? When do we celebrate the presence and the power of Jesus Christ in the Church of Holy Family? Is it measured by the size of our congregation, by how many people come to Mass? Is it measured by how much money we have, how prosperous we are? Or is it to be measured by the manner in which we welcome people, we bless people, the manner in which people will find a home to welcome them? People who have no hope will find hope. People who are in distress will find consolation. People who gave up on life will find a new life. Only then does a church come alive. That's the measure. It's the kingdom of God that measures the life of an authentic church, not the kingdom of the world. We all sat around tables of family at Thanksgiving. When is a family healthy? Not measured by the size of their house, or the amount of their food, or the abundance of the moment. It's measured by the family coming together. People who are different who will feel welcome. The stories we share about the uniqueness of each person. About people who are odd or different but belong. The health of the family is measured by the embrace of a community, the need we have for one another. That's when a family is healthy. That's when a nation expresses the spirit and the soul. That's when a community becomes one. Only in humanity, in our brokenness, in our wound. Cause me to wonder about my own life. In some ways, we belong to the world, and then we belong to the kingdom. Ronald Rollheiser says, one of the big challenges we have is to will the one thing. We all want to be like Mother Teresa, but not entirely. We don't will the one thing, to follow the power of Jesus Christ, to renounce the kingdom of the world and to embrace the kingdom of the soul. I wondered about that. I said, well, I've got a little piece of the world, and then I've got a little piece of the kingdom of God. But where's the dominant ethic of your life? Where is your home? In which kingdom do you live? In 1986, Henry Nouwen was a professor at Harvard. Many of you know Henry Nouwen. He is a celebrated writer, Dutch theologian, a priest. He was teaching at Harvard. He was celebrated across the world for his books. Famous man. But somehow the fame and the fortune left him empty. It was a Faustian bargain. While he had everything, he had nothing. So he went to Daybreak. Some of you know Daybreak. Daybreak is a Larche home for people who are exceptional. And he went there, and he went to live in a small community within the Larche community, a community of 10. They were all very bonded. And one of them, named John, who was a person with intellectual uniqueness, had the habit of asking a visitor like Henry Nouwen, who was going to live with them, where is your home? And the next thing he would ask is, are you home tonight? They were always in for dinner. He was seldom in for dinner. He said, are you home tonight? Henry Nouwen writes about this. And while he was searching for a home, he was renouncing a home. While he was looking for a place of hospitality, he was leaving the place of hospitality. So he bonded himself with the Toronto community, with John and with this little group. And it caused him to wonder in his writings, where is your home? In the kingdom of the world, or in the kingdom of the soul? Where is your dominant ethic? From whence do you get your values? What guides you in life? What worries you in life? What do you miss? For what do you yearn? So when you come to look at this gospel speaking about the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of the Spirit, you must, and I must, pause and ask ourselves, where is our home?